next, Australia is going to be the first country to allow the nationwide use of psychedelic drugs for some cases of depression and post-traumatic stress disorder. Authorised psychiatrists in Australia will be allowed to prescribe a compound found in magic mushrooms for treatment-resistant depression, while MDMA or ecstasy will be legal to help treat PTSD in a therapeutic setting. Amanda Fielding set up the Beckley Foundation to campaign for reform to global drug policy. Amanda's with me now. Amanda, what are your thoughts around this?
Well, I think it's a very good move forward, because basically Australia is following the scientific evidence that we've been producing over the last 25 and more years. And there is sufficient evidence to start the treatment, obviously with great care. But I think it's a wonderful move. And the question is, will other countries take it as a lead and follow in their footsteps, which I think would be a wonderful idea to make access to these treatments available to the many people in need.
So what can these psychedelic drugs do, for example, for the likes of depression and PTSD?
Well, I was very convinced of the potential value of psychedelics when sensibly used in 1966. And then 30 years later, having tried to get scientists to undertake, collaborate on research and doctors to be interested, etc., I decided to set up a foundation, a non-for-profit foundation called the Beckley Foundation, in order to, one, carry out research which will investigate how they have their effect and what are their beneficial effects, and two, to try to reform global drug policy, which had really got in a terrible state. It's not at all based on scientific evidence, but on a kind of political expediency. And it has caused terrible suffering over the last 60 years, the program of prohibition, which hasn't worked and has exacerbated the problems and sufferings of millions of people. And it really is time that this rewritten the conventions, United Nations conventions.
What about the side effects from these drugs? What about the dangers of these drugs?
Absolutely. One obviously has to take in mind the potential dangers, but it's a category of drugs which is very separate from other drugs, and it shouldn't really be all rolled up into one word, drugs, which has a very bad connotation. Here I think we're talking about cannabis and also a related set of compounds, which is the psychedelics. And they are, LSD is non-toxic, i.e. you can't kill an animal with an overdose. Psilocybin, which is the active principle of the magic mushroom, is very nearly non-toxic. It's got a little bit of toxicity. And so they are very special compounds which have been used for millennia by people around the world for religious purposes and medicine mainly. And really, almost every country in the world has had a practice of using these compounds. And I think our culture has largely been based from 100,000 years ago on the use of them. So they aren't new, they're old compounds. And they're very surprisingly safe. Actually, I initiated, when I set up the Beckley Foundation, I started organising seminars for high-level scientists and politicians from around the world at the House of Lords. And one of the first things I organised was a was a survey on the scale of harms of all drugs, legal and illegal. Originally, I wanted a scale of harms and benefits, but one couldn't do the benefits because, one, benefits were taboo, and two, there was no research to prove the benefits. So we did a scale of harm. And amazingly, the legal drugs, basically alcohol and nicotine, were right at the top of the dangers, together with heroin and certain of those. But they were really the main killers. And right at the bottom were psilocybin, and close to the bottom was LSD and cannabis. So actually, the real scientific dangers were exactly opposite to how they've been regulated.
Well, in some of the articles that I've read, LSD can affect vision, emotion, thinking, and more.
It can, but also, I mean, it's very...
And that's why it remains illegal in many countries.
Actually, it's a drug which has to be treated, used with knowledge, basically, about dosing. At a low dose, which can be called a micro or mini dose, it doesn't have those effects at all.
And but Amanda, it can trigger panic attacks, psychotic episodes, anxiety, paranoia, a feeling of dying, a feeling of going insane, can't it?
It can at large doses, but so can SSRIs and other things have very bad. I mean, there are many suicides caused by SSRIs which are legal and increasingly being given out to people, and they're taken daily. You know, a lot of compounds.
I guess what I'm trying to do, look, it is about the control of this drug, isn't it?
Yes.
And I completely acknowledge that. But what we need to be careful of here is that if some people listening to you think, well, look, it can be prescribed by a medical person safely, so therefore there's no problem going on a trip with LSD without the proper medical supervision. And the reality is there's a huge danger in doing that because there's an unpredictability about the trip.
Yes, definitely it should be regulated. I'm not for a market where you can go into whatever Waitrose and buy your LSD. I'm in favour for first getting it legally permissible in controlled ways, as indeed Australia is doing, for medical use. I then think one can expand the use by controlling it carefully. It's under government control. And it doesn't work, prohibition. We've got the use of controlled drugs has gone up incredibly since they were prohibited, because you've got a whole army of cartels, you know, working and making sure that people do use them.
Okay. Amanda, I wish I had more time to speak to you, but I find it very interesting doing so, and maybe we can talk again. In the meantime, thank you very much indeed, Amanda. Thank you for talking to us tonight.